Today's story is Everyone Loves My Tomatoes, written by Sabrina Espinoza. I've loved gardening ever since I was young. My mother was a gardener too. She taught me all of her tricks of the trade. Got me to just love the taste of fresh produce. Not even that supermarket fresh where they cover them up with wax or make them look shiny and perfect like they were photoshopped onto the shelves. To me, there's nothing more satisfying than plucking something off the plant, fresh and still smelling of the garden, running it under some water, and taking a big bite out of it. My mother and I tended to the garden a lot. It wasn't to the point of obsession, not like my dad teased us about it. We just planted the seeds, pulled the weeds, gave them water, and something to give the soil an extra kick when it needed it. We mixed our own fertilizer, a secret recipe my mother taught me. My dad never liked being outside when we did it, though. He said we always stunk up the whole backyard when we mixed it. Neither of us minded that he didn't care to spend time in the garden. Garden time was strictly mother-son time. Besides, for all his complaining, my dad did always love the stuff we grew. I don't think I've seen a man since him eat so much salad at dinner time. It was a happy time, though. Of course, it's not like that anymore. My dad died in a car accident about 5 years ago, and my mother, after a long and hard-fought battle, finally succumbed to lung cancer about 3 years ago. She ate healthier than any person I've ever known, but she always did like a smoke. I grieved, of course, but I moved on. I own my childhood home now, and the garden with it, of course. I have plenty of friends, some of the crunchy granola type and some not. Much as I love fruits and vegetables, I could never go vegetarian or even vegan like my best friend Sasha started a few years back. I can't help it. I love burgers too much. So I've got a decent life, a normal job working in administration alongside my best friend Sasha in the same company. You might wonder why I don't work in a plant nursery or something like that. Well, it's like my dad always said, best to keep work and pleasure separate. I love my gardening, and it's a big hobby for me, but it's just that, a hobby. Well, a productive hobby anyway. I always grow too much to eat on my own, so I always end up giving a bunch away to my friends. They all love it. They literally eat it all up, especially my tomatoes. Ever since I was little, my mom joked that I had a red thumb instead of a green one. Whenever I cared for and tended to the tomato plants, they always grew big and beautiful and delicious. Every tomato season of them flourished and produced a big old bumper crop. I would have literally baskets of the things. In peak of the season, my dining room looked like a farmer's market, that is, if a farmer's market only stocked up on tomatoes. All of my friends looked forward to it each year. When I told them I had some, word would spread so fast, and soon I'd have my phone buzzing, people calling dibs on who would get some first. Believe me, I wasn't upset about this. Like I said, I grew a lot, way too many for just one person to eat before they went bad. So I was happy to give a lot of them away. My friends loved them, and I was happy to share. The only one who ever got really overwhelming about them was Sasha. She loved them more than anyone else. I would make a mention of them, and she'd get this look in her eye. She always seemed to know when they would start growing, too. She tracked the growing seasons of things. I assumed it was to keep track of when the best produce would be in her favorite organic and health food stores. But she was always so adamant about tomato season. We would be sitting next to each other at work, and she would listen to me talk. But I noticed she would subtly steer me towards the topic of my garden. And then she would start talking about health food and how she loved the stuff I grew. And hey, wasn't it almost time for my tomatoes to start growing? It wasn't a lie, and I always said yes. And how her eyes would always light up. She was always offering to help me out around my garden throughout the year, because she was someone who hated taking without exchanging and wanted to do something for all the stuff I grew and gave her. She'd been like that for all the time I knew her. But she did get oddly fixated on those tomatoes. She'd work around them, care for them even better than the other plants around them. One time when I had to pull up a tomato plant because it got infested by bugs, I swear she looked like she was about to cry. And look, I know it sounds weird that I lost a tomato plant with how much I touted myself about being good at growing them, but hey, I'm just a gardener, not a miracle worker. It happens to the best of us. But if you want to know something weird, I'll tell you about later that day. It was late when she finally left, a basket full of produce from the day's work and plenty of tomatoes, of course. I didn't stick around to watch her go. I just went inside the house, expecting her to leave through my back gate where her car was parked on the street. But as I passed by my back window on the way to the kitchen, I glanced out and saw her standing near the side of my house where I kept my garbage cans. And I kid you not, I swear her rifling through the trash and pulling out handfuls of half-grown, insect-riddled tomatoes. She ran off before I could go out and ask her about it, though. Which brings me to the big incident, where I finally realized that Sasha's love for tomatoes went too far more than an innocent craving. I was going into my backyard to mix some compost on a warm summer night. I like doing my mulch when it's warm, courtesy of a tip from my mother. So I headed out with a 5-gallon bucket, half full of the usual materials I use for it. Instead of making a beeline for my compost heap, when all of a sudden, I hear a rustling from further in the garden. Used to the occasional occurrence of a rabbit or some other animal uprooting and eating my stuff, I picked up my shovel and stomped over there, intending to take care of whatever was making all that racket. What I did not expect to find was Sasha. Knees pressed into the dirt, half covered in mud, and holding a tomato in each hand, with what looked like a third one stuffed in her mouth. In shock, I asked her what the hell she was doing in my backyard, stealing from my tomatoes. I know I give a lot of stuff away, but she was still taking my stuff without permission, and given we'd been best friends for so long, it kinda hurt to think she'd be stealing from me. She swallowed hard, and I almost winced with the sound of it. The size of the lump that went down her throat in such a small, strange voice. She said she'd been hungry, but she'd run out of tomatoes. They filled her stomach so well, and she just had to have some. Well, seeing as she was my best friend, and I didn't want to ruin that over some tomatoes, I sighed and lowered my shovel, telling her to just put down the tomato she held, and that she could come back tomorrow and have some if she helped me out again. Her eyes went oddly blank, and she stared at me for too long for me to be comfortable. She did stand up, but unsteadily, almost wobbly. And then she bolted at me, and in the gleam of the summer moon, I saw her brandishing a small hand rake I used for gardening. She had this weird, crazed look in her eye, and her teeth were barred, stained with juice and seeds, but otherwise glinting in the moonlight. With what had to have been thousands of dollars of her expensive dental and orthodontics works on her perfect teeth. I shattered those teeth when I swung the shovel in her face. Bits of white flew out of her mouth as she was too shocked to even cry out in pain. By the time she was on the ground, I already had the shovel up over my head, swung it down onto her exposed neck. With a gurgle and a splatter, that was it. I stepped on the hand with the rake until she let go, and waited as the life left her shocked, crazed eyes while she bled out profusely onto my grass. When I was sure she was finally dead, I grabbed her by the wrist and dragged her into the compost pile. I could hose off the plants later. Besides, the extra moisture from her blood would be good for them in this heat. After I dropped her onto the compost heap and grabbing my axe, I went about cutting her to pieces. Careful to do so in a way that would leave her in smaller pieces no bigger than my palm. I don't think she would have been so keen on my tomatoes if she knew that the animals were in fact harmed in their growth, as she proclaimed her vegan lifestyle was meant to be about. All the dismembered raccoons and rabbits and squirrels were killed to make them when I mixed them into the mulch. I finished up quickly and set about mixing Sasha into the mulch. There would be leftovers, but I could hide the rest of her under the compost until then. Waste not, right? It's a funny thing. I've tried this method on other plants before, But the only one it seems that this method of fertilizing gives so much more flavor are the tomatoes. As I discovered in multiple experiments since I was a child, when I had decided to bury a dead bird I had found in with the tomato seeds without telling my mother, those were some of the best tomatoes we've ever grown, and one of the things I always loved being praised for. I hope Sasha would be happy. I think as I carefully fold the mix of compost, raccoon flesh, and what looks like to be part of Sasha's ear into the dirt around the first tomato plant. She's always loved those tomato plants, repeating over and over that she'd die to know how mine got so tasty. Not only should she likely know, now she'll be part of the process. I hope this next crop grows out soon enough. I can't wait to have everyone try one and see how this crop tastes.